Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Good morning, everyone. Certainly want to wish everyone a happy Sabbath. It is good to be here. Well, baseball season is over for another year. The World Series is behind us. I'm going to start with a riddle, though, for you baseballers. Maybe you'll appreciate this. Why is it that the major league pitcher was ushered right into God's kingdom, but the softball pitcher was thrust out? Well, it's pretty obvious. There was always something underhanded about that softball pitcher. You know, a lot of times the speaker will say, well, it wasn't a good joke, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the message. Well, actually, this time it does. Because today I want to tell you about a video I saw recently. It's based on a true story, and it actually happened on the softball field. The video was entitled The Home Run. It was produced and directed by a man named Ron Shelton. And it was based on a true story, a game that was played between two college ladies softball teams, Western Oregon College versus Central Washington University. And this happened in April of 2008. Now at work, the vice president routed this video to everyone in the center, I think for two reasons. Number one, he is an avid baseball fan. But secondly, he thought this video was a good depiction of teamwork from which everyone in his center could value. Okay, the video starts out on the softball field. It's the bottom of the last inning. The home team is down 2-0. There's two strikes, two outs, and two players on base. The pressure is intense. The player at bat is really feeling the stress because she knows this game is going to depend on what she does. She focuses. The pitch comes. She swings. Her bat connects with that ball. It's a hit. And what a hit it is. There it's going. It's over the fence, out of the park, home run. Well, she is just jubilant. Everyone on the home team is cheering. They're so happy because what a turnaround at the last minute. Everything seems wonderful. She begins her run around the bases, and it's then that tragedy strikes. She has just rounded first base. She trips, stumbles, falls. She goes down. She doesn't move. Her coach and teammates call to her, are you okay? And they rush to first base there at her side. She chokes back tears and she says, it's my knee. I twisted it. I don't think I can get up. Well, one of her teammates says, that's okay. I'll help you. You lean on me, and I'll help you to walk the rest of the bases. It's then that the umpire speaks, and he says, sorry, can't do that. It's against the rules. The camera pans, and we see him approaching first base with a small book open in his hands. And he's reading from it. He says, no offensive player may be assisted by another offensive player or by a coach. Oh, come on, ump. Give her a break. She hit a home run. I'm sorry, coach, he says. I didn't write these rules. I just have to enforce them. And so they argue a little bit back and forth. But the umpire doesn't budge. He says it would be the same if it was the other way around. Now the camera pans off to the side, And we see two of the players from the other team, the pitcher and a fielder. And they're softly talking, whispering, and nodding. Then they start walking towards first base. When they arrive at first base, not a word is spoken. But they pause, one of them on either side of the fallen player. The pitcher takes one hand and places it under the thigh of the fallen batter, kind of halfway between her knee and her hip. And then she takes her other hand and places it on her shoulder, just under her neck. The fielder does the same thing. And then, together, they raise her from the ground. Well, instinctively, she reaches out with her arms, placing them around her two helpers' necks and shoulders. And then, they start walking. Oh, not to the dugout. Not to the sideline bench. Instead, they're walking right down the baseline, headed for second base. A hush falls all over the field. No one says a word. When they arrive at second base, they pause. They lower their passenger just enough so her foot brushes second base. Then they turn, headed for third. The umpire softly speaks. He tells the coach, "I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I have never seen anything like this." Third base, same exercise again. Lower her, allow her foot to touch the base plate. Well, by now that hush on the field is gone. People are whispering. People are talking softly. You can hear some laughter, some soft cheers. But before we know it, our threesome has arrived at home plate. Again, they lower their passenger, allowing her foot to touch home plate, and then they raise her, lifting her into the waiting arms of her teammates, who immediately elevate her up onto their shoulders. Oh, the cheers are astounding. Everyone is just so happy and jubilant. And as the pitcher and the fielder turn to walk away, they smile to each other and give each other a high five. It's then that the screen turns black and we read that this is a true story, with the facts and details that I related at the beginning of this sermonette. If any of you have the least little bit of a lump in your throat, well, don't feel badly. Because at work, I know I certainly did. I haven't done this video justice by any means. I've just given you a rough description of it. But I overheard some of my colleagues talking. "Did you see that video that Don routed to us? It almost made me cry." The reply was, "What do you mean almost? I was a mess by the time that video was over." I'll tell you, brethren, I like this story. I like this story a lot. It's the kind of story that just makes you want to stand up and cheer because it's got a good outcome. It reminds me of one of the scriptures in this book that is on most of your laps. Please turn there with me. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Proverbs 3, verse 27. This is the only scripture to which I'll ask you to turn today. "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so." Do not withhold good. If you're looking for a title or an SPS for this message, that's it. Do not withhold good. I'd like to spend the rest of our time here together overlaying this verse in God's Word across the account I've just shared with you. Do not withhold good. Clearly, the fallen batter's teammates wanted to do this. They wanted to help her. They said immediately, "Lean on me, I'll help you around the bases." Lean on me. They wanted to help. Well, as Christians, we are continually admonished to do that very thing. Consider what God's Word has to say about that. What we often call the golden rule: do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Do good to them. What about the account of the Good Samaritan? He clearly did good to others. He didn't withhold that good. What about the fruits of God's Spirit? Love, goodness, kindness. It's all about goodness outflowing towards others. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Now, this young girl who had hit the home run, she had already accomplished all the hard work. Remember, I told you at the beginning, the stress and anxiety on that field was intense. I mean, here we were, the bottom of the last inning. She knew the outcome of this game would depend upon her personal success or failure. That was a lot of pressure, a lot of intimidation. But yet she stayed focused. She did not allow herself to become distracted. She swung that bat at just the right moment. She hit the home run. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. What comes next is what any player would say is the gravy. You just run around the bases. You don't even have to run fast. You just can jog. Maybe you even wave your arms a little bit because you're happy, you're excited. That's the easy part. That's where she stumbled. Receiving assistance from anyone in completing this task would in no way diminish what she had already accomplished. No one would call her a sissy. No one would say, "Well, I guess you can't finish the job you started." No, clearly not. She had done the big work, the big job, the big accomplishment. And the coach, in effect, told the umpire, "Give her a break. She deserves it." Clearly, the other players agreed. Brethren, sometimes we all stumble, and we need a helping hand. Sometimes we need two. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is within the power of our hand to do so. Her teammates clearly wanted to help their fallen comrade, but the umpire's rule book effectively tied their hands. They could do nothing to assist her. But their opponents were not so bound. So they gave the good that was in the power of their hands when it was due, when they believed it was due. They gave it. You know, a few weeks ago, Mr. Hargrove talked about his unfortunate experience after the feast when his car would not start. And what did he do? Well, he went to my brother-in-law, Sid Loudon, and said, "Can you help me with my car?" Well, he did, because it was within the power of his hand, because, as he modestly said, "Well, I know enough to be dangerous." Sadly, if my brother-in-law had gone to the feast somewhere else, and if I had been the one to which Mr. Hargrove turned, "Sorry, Mr. Hargrove, you're plumb out of luck, because I don't know anything. There's nothing within the power of my hand that I can do to assist you with your car problem, because I'm just plain dangerous. I don't know anything about cars." Sometimes It's not within the power of our hand to give the good that we wish we could. But sometimes it is. Sometimes it is, even when we don't realize it. Sometimes we may have to look for the unexpected way in which we can offer good to someone else, like we saw in this story today. And brethren, when we find ourselves in a situation like this, and we do as God's verse instructs, then we will be the ones who have hit a home run.